VentureCast.
It is all about people. It's all about understanding and respecting each other. And then it comes into the workplace where you respect your coworkers, your leaders. And it's a really big thing, but it all boils down to a respect and appreciation for relationships.
Hi, and welcome to Deep Leadership. I'm your host, John Rennie. Well, I hope all is well with you today. It is a wet day here in North Carolina, and this episode is brought to you by our sponsors, Leader Connect, Ignite Management Services, and Liberty Strength. These sponsors help me bring these shows to you each and every week, so I encourage you to click on their links below and check them out. Now, I'm excited to announce that we are quickly approaching our 300th episode, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Neil Woodson will be returning to the show to launch his brand new book, Giving a Shit: How a Willingness to be Inconvenienced Can Transform Your Business, Work, and Life. And I'm proud to have written the foreword to this amazing new book about the importance of service. Neil and I will be giving away 30 signed copies of this book when that episode airs on April 3rd. The first 30 listeners to subscribe and comment on the YouTube video of that episode will get a free copy of this fantastic leadership book. So subscribe to the Deep Leadership Podcast on YouTube today so you don't miss this special episode when it airs. Well, that is it. Today we're going to be talking about the evolving role of human resources, and my guest is Will Collins. Will has spent 50 years leading HR teams, and I wanted to get him on the show to talk about what has changed over the years. Now, HR often gets a bad rap. Good leaders get frustrated by too many HR rules, and poor managers often overuse HR as a substitute for good leadership. Either way, HR is often seen as the corporate cops. Well, there is a better way, and Will and I sit down and talk about it in this insightful conversation. So, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started.
Welcome to Deep Leadership. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former Cold War submarine officer who spent 20 plus years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Are you ready for some real world actionable advice from John as well as his expert guests?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Welcome to the Deep Leadership Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Will Collins. Will is the president of New Venture Resources, an HR consultancy specializing in helping small businesses. He was raised on a tobacco farm in rural North Carolina, and after getting his undergraduate degree in personnel management, he went on to lead HR teams for 50 years. Now, most of that time was in the manufacturing sector. Will also served as the Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Workforce Development for the state of North Carolina. And I am excited to have him on the show to talk about HR and leadership, how they work together and when things can go wrong. So, Will, welcome to the show.
Well, John, I got to tell you, it is a privilege and an honor to be here and to share some insight about human resources. I've been doing it for quite a while, and it's exciting to be able to share some thoughts and ideas and be able to address something that I hope your listeners will be interested to find out a little bit more about. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I know we met and we talked about this idea of HR and leadership. Sometimes they can be in conflict and sometimes they can work in a partnership arrangement. So I thought it would be fun to have you on to talk about that. But first of all, I mean, 50 years in the HR field, that's just amazing. If you look back over the years, what has changed and what is still the same?
Well, that's really interesting. I've been doing this since 1974. That's when I graduated from Appalachian. And back then it was called personnel management. And that was long before the days of human resources. So that just goes to show how old I am. But I think that what some of the things that has certainly changed is society itself has changed. I think that the business environments have also changed. And I think that's been good in a lot of different ways. The reason that I say that is because I think that there has been a very big show of support and respect to individuals, more so than has ever been in our history. And course, that's come about for a lot of different reasons, and a lot of different things have been the catalyst to make that happen. But I think the other things that have changed, the legalities have certainly changed. And then just to start, the tip of the iceberg is technology. Of course, the technology that has changed even in recent years has been just off the charts. Well, one thing that I think that has been part of the change as well is expectations from leaders and from team members about how team members can really be a more integral part of the success of the company. So I think those are some of the things that have really kind of changed over the last 50 years.
And what do you think, if you look back, what stayed the same?
Well, again, you're talking to an HR kind of guy. So I've got it. My answer is it is about people. And I think that the things that have stayed the same actually have to do with people. My father, he shared something with me when I was learning the ins and outs of HR. And my father was, he had a seventh or an eighth grade education. He can't remember which one that he was pulled back on the farm to work with family. But he did, he went off to World War II, went on day six of D-Day as a medic. 3 years later, he came back home and he worked for the same company. He worked for the cell phone company for over 50 years. And that's something else that's a little bit different nowadays than it was back then. But my father, he really exemplified the thing about building relationships. And to him, he would remind me, he said, you know, I don't have any money. He said, I don't have any education. He said, it is all about people. It's all about understanding and respecting each other. And he said, it really starts within yourself. First of all, you have to have a good relationship within yourself. You need to be able to know and understand and respect your family, your neighbors, your community. And then it comes into the workplace where you respect your coworkers, your leaders. And it's a really big thing, but it all boils down to a respect and appreciation for relationships. So that's the one thing that I really took from him that I think is I don't think that has changed a lot. And hopefully that will not change. I think that's something that we need to have a real high regard and respect for relationships with each other.
Yeah, I love that message. And yeah, you're right. And it has not changed over the years. It still is important. I would say it's even more important today than it was ever before, because employees have more choices. And so if they come to your place of work and you don't treat them with respect and they don't have relationships with people around them, with their coworkers, their boss, the people they work with, they're going to leave and go find a place where they do feel more welcome. So I think now more than ever, relationships are critical.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And one of the more common words that are the phrases that's coming up just in the recent months is about artificial intelligence. And, you know, what is artificial intelligence? To me, that's a little bit scary in that you're now saying that artificial intelligence is more important than relationships in some ways or another. We don't know what artificial intelligence is really going to give to us in the future, and that the near, very near future. So I think it is important for us to understand that we need to be able to depend on each other, help each other. You know, we've all heard these things like the slogans, companies don't succeed, people do. You know, we hear that. There is no I in team. I mean, the things like together each accomplishes more. You know, we've always heard those different things. But I think it's real important for us to remember that we are all in this together, whether we're coworkers or competitors or customers or whatever it might be. So it's real important to have the people factor in there.
Yeah.
So that's good for an HR guy to you know, that's what we hang our hat on. It's human resources.
You know, I think you're right. I think the more and more AI becomes a part of our lives, the more and more we're going to crave human connection and real, genuine, not artificial intelligence, but real intelligence or human intelligence, which is flawed, by the way. We're flawed. And I think we recognize when AI is too perfect, we're going to go, you know, that's weird. That's not, you know, it's not. And we crave human connection. So I love that. That reference, because I think it's important. One of the things I was going to say is that you know, as I started the intro, sometimes HR gets a bad rap with leaders, right? Sometimes you guys are known as the police, right? The, you know, you got to follow the right rules when it comes to hiring and firing and raises. And other times I see managers relying on HR too much. Like, it's like, HR is in charge of developing my people and sending them to training. And if I have to fire somebody, HR can do it. So they use HR as a crutch. So in one case, it's a restriction for people wanting to try to do things. And in another case, it's a crutch for some managers. But in your opinion, what are some areas where HR really adds value to business leaders? And what are some areas that really need improvement?
Well, I think that kind of goes back to some of the things that have changed recently, and that is to be able to show your respect to team members because the added value that they have. I think that is really important, especially with us having just recently gone through a worldwide pandemic. The pandemic, you know, it had a lot of benefits to it from the standpoint of learning lessons, and it changed the way that we look at the way we do business and the way that we show our respect for people. You know, it made us all wake up. We had to sit up and we had to show up because it was really a strange dichotomy of what can we do to make sure we are successful in business, even though we can't really be together anymore. Mm. And so it's really been a challenge for a lot of leaders to say, you know, before this all happened, the mantra was, we can't do business remotely. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's never going to happen. Well, as you know, it did happen. And they made it work. And they made it work really successfully because we had to take a different look at the way that we deal with and treat people and the way we deal with challenges and problems. We made them all these things come together. And so those parts of the pandemic were actually beneficial in that we learned a lot from the lessons that we could. And I think that, you know, this thing about in-office situations, team members now see that as an opportunity. They see, yes, it can be done. And what are we going to do about it? So leaders are having to take a different look at what are we going to do to address this? Because we've already proven that it can happen. It has a lot to do with the people's expectations, the work environment requirements. All of those things are evolving at their own rate of speed. And it's really been interesting to see that as I study in psychology and sociology and different ways of doing business. So I think it's been helpful for us to go through that because we all had to go through it together.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the best leaders during this time worked with their HR managers to come up with the right policies to be able to, again, get the work done, but also in a way that was respectful to the you know, the medical situation that was happening, the concerns, because it was so many unknowns back then. So I think, and one of the things that you touch on, I think is important, is that, you know, the best HR managers are going to be a partner with the local leadership. They're going to act as a partner. They're going to be their, you know, their voice, you know, like, hey, you can't fire everybody right before Christmas Day, right? So you're in a way, you're that, you're a support, you're a voice, and you're trying to help them manage correctly around people, right? Is that when it's running right, it's a partnership, right?
It absolutely is. And I think that, you know, that the old mantra is that HR now has a seat at the table. Mm. Well, it's been a long time coming in some organizations, but it's a very important piece of the puzzle that makes things work. So we're glad to be there. We do want to be able to show team members that we want to be supportive of what they want to do. We're looking at their careers and how we develop their careers. But we've also got to keep in mind the company has to be successful. Mm-hmm. In order for all this to work, in order for you to build your career, the company must also be successful. So there's a balance between how far do you go in one direction or another direction? And leaders are now seeing that as well. They're seeing people really want to build their careers, and we want to show respect for them on how to make that happen, because we want the company to be sustainable, and you know, we want it to work really well. So I think that that's something that is exciting to be a part of looking down the road.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the things I used to tell people that, you know, HR is there as your partner, as we were just saying, when it's running properly. And the other thing is they keep you out of trouble, right? So keep you legal for less.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's
trouble, you know, on asking certain questions, on job interviews, on letting people go. I mean, there's all sorts of issues around, HIPAA laws and now with, discrimination and what have you. So there's a lot of ways you can get in trouble as a leader, and you need your HR there to help you stay correct, stay out of trouble.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's one of the fun parts of being an HR is you don't want to use that leverage too often.
Yeah.
But you do want to remind them, you know, not only is it the right thing to do, it's the legal thing that you are required to do.
Yeah.
And so it helps us with some of the need for them to pay more attention to what we're talking about. You know, that's come a long way in the last 50 years as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the best HR leaders I've worked with, you know, you'll go to them and say, I have this idea that I want to do this. What's the best way, or how can I do this within the confines of what's allowed and what makes sense? And so I think it's a trusted resource on your team to help you with the most important thing you have, which is people.
You know, it absolutely is. And it's like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of things that are changing with the technology and expectations. So it's an exciting field to be a part of.
Yeah, I agree. Now your company, you work with a lot of small businesses. You help them on the HR front. What are the typical things that small business owners are running into when it comes to HR? I run a small business myself. I do not have an HR manager, so I know what kind of problems I have. What are the kind of things, questions you get, or issues you work with?
I think some of the disadvantages that small businesses have is outlining expectations. Mm. When you're an entrepreneurial spirit, you do things on the fly, you do things quickly, decisions are made in a fairly small group of individuals getting together. So you don't have the advantage of bouncing a lot of ideas off of a lot of different people. And you have to make things happen fairly quickly. So I think that the disadvantage from an HR standpoint is small business owners need to kind of take a quick look at how to set up expectations of what it's going to be like. What do you need to have happen? What are your resources? What are the limits of your resources? You don't have unlimited financial resources, so you have to make best out of what you have to work with. So I think that's one of the things that is a disadvantage to small businesses. There's also a misperception that people sometimes in different small businesses, people's schedules aren't what they need to be because of the commitment that you need because you have fewer people. So if someone is absent, that's a big burden on other people. Again, it's about laying out those expectations up front. So there's a few things in there that small businesses do have a disadvantage over, but then they also have a little more flexibility in some cases where you can be treat people more like family members and show them, you know, a conscientious effort to try to help them through different personal situations and help them through tough times you know, when they run into some problems.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
As a leader, you're responsible for the mission and the people assigned to you. Regardless of the size of your team, employees are depending on you for their lives and careers. For the sake of your team and the people who entrust you with this role, you need to master the skills to become a great leader. Best-selling leadership author John Rennie is proud to introduce the Qualified Leadership Book Series. This new series teaches you how to become a people-centered leader. Great leaders know that employees who are respected, appreciated, and allowed to grow will go the extra mile. These books provide real-world leadership wisdom written from a hands-on perspective. If you want to be a more effective leader, this is the one book series you should read this year. This three-book series contains the following best-selling leadership books: I Have the Watch, You Have the Watch, and All in the Same Boat, for one low price of $39.99. Begin your journey to become a leader worth following. Go to johnsrennie.com and get your order in today.
This episode is brought to you by LeaderConnect, a leadership training company and video platform founded by the leadership book author and Deep Leadership Podcast guest, Neil Jurd. LeaderConnect is a video and podcast streaming platform for leaders and teams. Watch it alone or as a team, and each video supports you and your team, allowing you to improve performance and build a great culture. Join hundreds of experts and learn about leadership, planning, public speaking, team building, mindfulness, and a range of other subjects that will help you lead well and build a great team. I'm proud to say that I'm one of the experts on this platform. LeaderConnect is offering a 10% discount to all Deep Leadership listeners. Go to leader-connect.co.uk and enter the code DEEP at checkout. Master your leadership with LeaderConnect.
This episode is brought to you by Ignite Management Services. Ignite is led by Mike Watson, who you might remember from episode 137. Mike and his team believe that everything starts with leadership, whether it's strategy execution or cultural transformation. It's the role of the leader to create the conditions for their people to succeed. The team at Ignite can help you develop critical habits to enhance your leadership capability and transform your business. Ignite Management is now offering the Resilient Leadership Assessment Tool. This is an online questionnaire designed to assess and guide leadership development, coaching, and team building. It provides leaders an opportunity to gain insights into their leadership strengths and development needs. After taking this assessment, you will receive a custom detailed report that provides practical and actionable recommendations to enhance your effectiveness. I have taken this assessment myself and found it to be extremely valuable in helping me make changes to my leadership approach. Right now, Ignite is offering 15% off the price of this tool to the Deep Leadership audience. Go to ignitemanagement.ca and enter the code START15 at checkout to get started today.
Yeah, I often think about that too. You know, being a small business owner, and I've run my company for 8 years now, and I often think, why do my employees stay with me, right? I know that they could probably make more money maybe potentially in a, if they went to a bigger company, have bigger, more opportunities for growth, more opportunities for advancement, travel, you know, and I think, well, why did they stay with me? And I think that's a question that small business owners have to, you know, think about is like, why does somebody stay with you? And you mentioned a few things. I think that's really important. You mentioned personal relationships, you know, like a tight, I know in our company, we're very tight. We're very close. You mentioned flexibility. One of the things that we allow is, you know, something's going on. You need to be out of work. We work around it and we make sure that you have that time available. So I think people like being part of our group because they feel like it's a tight community, and that we're really flexible when something comes up, and we care deeply about each other, and it goes a long way because my employees stay with me, and I often think, but they could go somewhere else and get more out of their careers potentially.
Well, I think another element of that is just the definition of ownership. I think that people that are in small businesses have an element of they feel like that they have more influence and they have more impact and they add more value to smaller companies because they take ownership of what they do. It's not just ownership in stock or in some kind of financial terms or benefits or things of that nature. They take ownership in their pride of their work because, again, with a limited number of people, every person counts in some way and has an added value. And that's something that I think small business owners are really more in tune with than some of the larger corporations, especially in this day and time. The talent pool is very limited. I think people can pick and choose basically where they want to go now. So it's an element of, do you really want to be a part of this business and have an impact on not only the business, but also your own career, where you want to go with your career?
I think you just touched on something that's really important. Ken Blanchard famously said that that employees want worthwhile work. They want to do something that's worthwhile. They want to know that their work makes a difference. And I did 22 years working for a corporate. And oftentimes I felt like some employees felt like they were just a cog in the wheel. Like if they were there or if they were gone, nobody would know, nobody would care. Their impact on the company was meaningless. It was small. And so they didn't feel like they were doing worthwhile work. And I think one of the things you can do in a small business, like you said, is you're getting a chance to see the entire business from the time we get an order to where we process it, that we manufacture, we do the quality checks, we ship it out the door, and we have, you know, customer service after the sale. We get, you know, our employees get a chance to, you know, see every side of the business. And I think that that's unique. You don't get that in a big company. And I know a lot of my employees came from big companies, and they say that's what they say they like about it, is they see the big picture. They get the chance to be a part of the whole business and not just one small little sliver of the business.
Well, I think that there's another thing, too, that's really important, and that is to have those conversations with people and let them know where their added value is and remind them, you know, I got to have you for this. I need your input. I want your thoughts about this. And I think that's really important to have those conversations. And then some larger structures, those conversations may happen semi-annually, or they may happen on an annual basis. And it's kind of like it gets to the point where people don't look forward to those annual conversations. In a smaller organization, you can have those conversations more freely and more often. And, you know, they really mean a lot when you have somebody sharing with you what they really want to see get done.
Yeah. You brought it up. I'm going to ask you. I don't put you on the spot here. So annual performance reviews, yay or nay? Are they good? Are they bad? What's your opinion on them?
Well, I really have mixed feelings about it. I think you need to have some kind of structure so that you could have something that are within the expectations of the individual and something that the company can look forward to. But it really needs to be a communication tool and not just a form that you fill out and check the boxes. People do not look forward to checking the boxes and getting it over with. But they should look forward to having a conversation. Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about my impact. What value do I add? What can I do better? So I think those conversations, as far as being a part of a performance evaluation, they're great. I think you need to have them. But doing them just to get them done, doesn't help the situation at all. I think, again, it comes back to, Do individuals know what the expectations are? You can set up some goals and objectives and some type of criteria for measurement, but don't do it to the point that it's detrimental, that it's not even a conversation. It's just like, here's what's on the form, read it and sign it and give it back to me. That doesn't get you anywhere. It's actually more detrimental than it is helpful.
Yeah.
So I have mixed feelings. I think they're important if you use them as a communication tool. But if you do it to check boxes, they're actually more harmful than they are helpful.
Yeah. That was my experience. I mean, in the three global companies that I worked for, it was a process. It was structured. It was dictated from above. Everybody knew it was, you know, a check the box kind of assignment. And the problem is, though, in a lot of cases, a lot of managers weren't having regular conversations with their employees. And so what often came out of those performance reviews was a surprise, like something an employee never heard from their boss before.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think, and again, it was going back to this idea that HR could be a crutch, is I saw many HR, many managers who said, well, we do an annual appraisal, right? An annual performance review. That's all I need to do. And it's like, well, if you're just doing that and you're using HR as a crutch, you're not leading your people. You're basically just checking a box. And that's when your employees get surprised when you tell them that they're the lowest ranking employee on the team. They're like, well, you never mentioned it once to me, right? So that's when I think managers are using HR as a crutch.
I think you're exactly right. And I think that I've heard managers say, well, let's do away with them and I'll have those conversations. I'm like, really? You won't have them once a year. So if we're going to do away with them, how are you going to do that? So it does need to be built into the culture that someone has an interest in having the conversations. Let's talk about your career, your development. You know, where can you add more value? What things do you need to make improvements on? So it's they have some value, but they have to be used in the right way.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, and I think that if you think that just, you know, doing one time a year having a review with your employee is acceptable, it's not. That's not acceptable. That's a bare minimum, and even that is probably not good. So
right,
yeah. That's it's interesting. I do have mixed feelings about it. I think the one thing I don't like is how when corporate tightly controls how the pay increases or wage increases are based on the results of the, you know, performance evaluations. The way it got to before I left corporate was they would dictate very clearly, here's the bell curve we expect to see. You only have a certain amount of employees rated high, a certain amount rated here. And then this is what the raises are going to be based on, these, you know, very clearly defined, you know, bell curve. And so if I was a great manager, great leader, and I hired a great team and they were kicking tail, I still had to have the distribution and somebody had to be the, you know, below average performer to hit the HR, you know, what was coming out of corporate HR. And that to me was always bothered me, is that we had to have, you know, it was very prescriptive. It was too prescriptive. It didn't allow the local leader to have some, you know, sway in.
Yeah, it's okay to evaluate performance. There's nothing wrong with that. And it helps you know where you are, where you can go, and who you can rely on, and what the future looks like. But you know, you have to use some good old-fashioned common sense about, well, what is the value that this individual adds? And it's it can be a financial value. It can be an intrinsic value. It can be just support through, maybe you've got somebody that's a really enthusiastic individual that helps build other people.
Yeah.
And that they can do things with motivating people and leading people, even though they may not have the technical skills that you need. So there's a lot of different ways to measure what someone's value really is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And I think we can trust the local leaders a little bit more. We give them a little bit of flexibility there instead of a very, very prescriptive process. You know, we used to have these meetings where every manager would get in a room and we would say, here's my employees, here's what they're rated. And we were supposed to work as a group to say, okay, you got too many here, you got too many here, we're supposed to work it. But every manager was just looking out for their own team. And it was one of those frustrating processes. I think the idea of regular reviews, regular discussions with employees is helpful. And I do think you need to have something annually, because I think it's important that you have some documentation with the employee for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of sense. Well, this has been really interesting. And again, I think you bring a different perspective but also you bring that healthy perspective of bringing HR and leadership together. What final message would you like to leave with our listeners on this important topic?
Well, I think that what we've found recently is a lot of companies gone to the measure of doing surveys, and they're asking people what they really think, and they've asked them, okay, well, you know, we really want to know what you feel and how you feel about it. And because doesn't that make you feel good? It sure makes us feel good because we're asking these questions. So, but I think that what comes out of it is that if you're going to ask questions, you need to be prepared to take open and honest feedback and do something with it rather than just sit it on a shelf or ignore it. That becomes even more dangerous than asking the questions. So one thing that that I will leave with you is I think it's real important to build on these relationships. I think it's important to have one-on-one conversations. Some managers have challenges with that. They, as you probably have heard before, the number one challenge of all leaders is communication. So some people are better at it than others. Some are a little awkward doing it. But I do think it's really important to have communications and have to build relationships with individuals. Some things that we do is we would sit down and have a conversation with the leader and say, what do you want to find out? What do you really want to know? And we will help you find that out, and we'll give you that feedback. In the same vein, we sit down with team members and say, we really want to get your open and honest feedback, and it's going to get attention. So we do that. We have a formalized process that we do it. It's not real complicated. It's pretty simple, and as a matter of fact, we just ask the questions, we put down the answers, and we share those with the people that have an interest to know. But one of the criteria is that we have to have an understanding that something is going to happen with this information in a productive way. So that's kind of what I would like to leave with. I think that, you know, we're in the day and time of where media has such a major impact on the way we do business. It has an impact on the way we communicate. Media is really good in doing some things. I think that we need to have respect for the media, respect for the technology where we are today, but we still need to have conversations. We need to build relationships. We need to understand each other. We need to share exactly what the expectations are for their future and how they're going to get there. So that's something that we would do with New Venture Resources is provide those resources to help people and companies to know a little bit more about each other and what they can look forward to down the road.
Well, that's fantastic. And again, that's such an important leader. I hope you heard that. If you're going to ask for input from your employees or ideas or recommendations, you got to listen to them. You got to put these into action. You can't just say thank you for your feedback and then throw it in a scrap bin somewhere. You got to listen. You got to take action on the ideas that make sense. And again, it shows you're listening. It shows you care. And it's an important part of leadership. So very good advice that Will brings. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Will, how can people find out more about you and your company?
Well, the name of the company is New Venture Resources. We have a website. And you can contact me through that website. My phone number is on their website as well. I welcome phone calls, interactive conversations. We welcome to hear what you have to say and how we can make improvements even in our own business. We're still learning. I've been around for a long time, but I'm still learning on every opportunity I can. So I'm really excited about that. It keeps me young, and that's one thing I'll look forward to. But absolutely. Yeah, our website is out there. Phone numbers and everything else is with it. And I look forward. I really enjoy meeting people and understanding their stories and their backgrounds. And that's something that I love to play the do you know game because I feel like I know a lot of people and that I really enjoy relationships. That's the one thing that my father, he passed that along to me. I don't have any mechanical skills. I don't have any technology skills, but I do enjoy having a conversation with somebody and find out a little bit more about them.
That is fantastic. And we're going to put links to Will's company in the show notes. And again, I highly encourage, if something in this conversation sort of sparked interest, say you're a small business owner and you're thinking, shoot, I'm not doing any of this. I don't really have any sort of performance review process. I don't really even do regular reviews of people. I'm worried about some legal aspects of, am I doing things correctly? Will is here as a resource. So, follow up on the links in the show notes. Reach out to Will. Tell him you saw him on our podcast, and he's more than happy to answer your questions. And as he mentioned, and build a relationship with you as well. So I highly encourage you to reach out to Will. Will, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a fun conversation. It's been fun getting to know you. And I really appreciate the perspective that you bring from an HR standpoint to the show.
Well, I certainly appreciate you asking. And it's been fun here as well. I haven't shared this information openly in a long time. So it's fun to have this conversation. And I really appreciate you asking. So look forward to working with you in the future. And anything else I can do to help, please let me know. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share so we can continue to build a world with better bosses. Until next time, this is John Reddy saying take care and lead well.
Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information and updates, please visit our website at www.deepleadershippodcast.com or johnsrennie.com. Until next time, take care.
I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Electric Acid.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast?
Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electricast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electricast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electricast.com and join our community today.
Electricast. Transform your influence.
Electricast.